This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. And I do trust the program encourages you and challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we're interested in prayer requests, which are extremely important in the day and age in which we live. And we're also interested in any comments you may have had on the program. Now, we've been looking at prominent people in the Bible, and we've gone through the Bible looking mostly at men with a few women, but now we've been looking at women, some of whom aren't often mentioned with regard to the story of the New Testament church in the New Testament. But as we've been looking at them, we begin to find out that women played a very prominent role in the establishing of what we would call Christianity today, biblical Christianity today. And of course, we've looked at Mary Magdalene, we've looked at Mary of Bethany, we've looked at Martha, and last time we looked at a woman by the name of Phoebe, a servant of the church, which was at Kenchre, who was traveling to Rome. We've looked at Priscilla, who with her husband did a lot of teaching, apparently in the early church. And now we want to look at a woman by the name of Dorcas. And if we have time, we'll also look at a woman by the name of Lydia of Thyatira. But I want to look at Dorcas in particular because we've often said that it's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is, salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift. And whether you look at faith itself as the gift or whether you look at salvation as the gift, God has provided a gift to us. And when we receive that gift, we're saved, but we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of that believing is that there will be a change in our lives. And so in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about when we're saved. We're only sinners saved by grace. We're saved from eternal destruction in eternity, a destruction that we deserve because of our sin. We're saved from that, and we're saved for heaven. But we're also saved for good works, for we are his workmanship. That is, we're a poetic masterpiece, his workmanship, a creatorial masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so God expected man to do good works, and mostly those good works were works that would benefit his fellow man. The Lord didn't intend for us to be doing what's happening in the world today. He didn't intend for us to be racist. He didn't intend for us to be tyrants desiring to control other people in other lands. He didn't intend for us to be murderers and liars and immoral and all the things that go on in our world today. He didn't intend for that. He intended for us to do good works. But when sin came in, of course, our hearts were made to be open to the evil of this world. And the Lord tells us in Jeremiah, the heart is evil, is desperately wicked, and who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked, and we have to admit that as we look around in the world today, our hearts are desperately wicked, and it's easier for us to do wrong than to do good. But when we come to Christ, there should be a desire not only to love God, but there should be a desire to love our neighbors. And we see that with Dorcas. And so when we read from Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul, therefore, sailing from Troas, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that one first. I want to go back to Dorcas, which was in Acts 9. In Acts 9, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. And at this point, Peter still has center stage in the story in the Acts of the Apostles. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with him. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed on the Lord, and so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Now, isn't this interesting that Lydda had died? She became sick and died, and yet Peter was able to raise her from the dead. Now, when we look at a saint who has died, we often are told that they're sleeping. But nevertheless, we don't see this sort of resurrection in our times, in our day. We talk about the early New Testament church, and it was necessary for people like Peter and the early apostles. It was necessary for them to be able to do signs like this to convince the Jews that they were in fact telling the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people, not all people, but many people could not read, and many people didn't know who or what to believe, and they're kind of like us today. And in the Jews' case, the Jews sought after a sign, even though the Gentiles sought after wisdom. In other words, for the Jews, the Lord had to show them through signs that the prophet was speaking the truth. If for a Gentile, people like you and me, we're more interested in logic and in something making sense. And of course, when things make sense to our natural mind, they don't always make sense to the spiritual mind, because God's ways are not our ways. We read back in Isaiah 55, I believe it is, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. And so when we look at the Greek or the Gentile, the non-Jew, we're more interested in logic. But with the Jew in the early church was mostly Jewish, they're interested in signs. And Peter was able to do this sign, which I don't think I know of anybody, in spite of what they say, that's in the world today who could produce a sign like this. And if they could, we certainly need them to empty out our hospitals and our clinics, and to get rid of this pandemic and the people who have died in it. We just don't see that. And of course, Peter didn't raise everybody from the dead, but the Lord did bring him to this woman, Dorcas, who had done many good works, and he raised her from the dead. And I think possibly it's because she was so well known in the community for what she had done, and there was so much grieving associated with her, that when she was raised from the dead, it meant a lot to the people in that area. And because of her, and because of this sign, it sounds as though the gospel was believed by those who listened to Peter. So he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. But this is what's important. And it became known throughout all Joppa, that's the city she was in, and many believed on the Lord. Now, I'm also certain that there were many who were skeptics, but many believed in the Lord, and so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. So the Lord used a miraculous means of reaching the people of Joppa. They were blessed because this woman who had these good works had died, and she was key to the faith of many in Joppa, who would be many of the, they would be many Jews in Joppa. And so sometimes the Lord uses miraculous means to reach us with the gospel, but in our day he uses mostly the miraculous truth of the Word of God, and he tells us in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I also want to look in Acts 16 at a woman who was from Thyatira. And this woman, we find out, was probably a Gentile convert to Judaism. And it's interesting that as we look at her, she had become, she opened the door to the gospel in Philippi. Remember, the Lord had forbidden Paul to go up into Asia. And so ultimately, he tries Asia, he tries Bithynia, which was going north rather than going east. And the Lord, for some reason, hindered that work, and he sends him to Philippi. And when he gets to Philippi, there was a woman there by the name of Lydia, and she was, Paul found her in a prayer meeting, apparently on the banks of the river. So I'm going to read that. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, which was northern Greece, as we would look at it today, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, which would be the day that the Jews would set aside for rest and worship of the Lord, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. Now, I don't know which river this is. I probably should have looked it up on the map. But there was a river there in that city of Philippi, and prayer was customarily made there. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, I don't know if there was a synagogue in Philippi or not. It doesn't mention that there was, but it's interesting that it was women that were doing the praying, and often they are the ones who are key to opening up the gospel in certain areas. They spend their prayers are heard. Now, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. That is, she was a Jewish worshiper. She worshiped Jehovah. She worshiped God. She was already reverent. And it's interesting that Paul couldn't go to Asia, but the Lord brought Asia to Paul. She was from Thyatira, which is probably one of the places he would have ended up going to if he had been allowed to go into Asia. And through her, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And so the Lord provided an oasis in Philippi for Paul so that he could do his work and spread the gospel there. And so the Lord opened her heart, and she got baptized. She publicly identified with the Lord, which would not have sat well with the Jewish population. And apparently, when she had her heart open, her whole household responded to the gospel. It says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you've judged me faithful, come to my house and stay." And it's clear from other scriptures that in order for her house to have been baptized, they had to have first believed the gospel. And it's nice when the door is open to a whole household because of one person. And that seemed to have been the case here. We often see that if one person is saved in a household, that others listen to them and respond to the gospel. And if you've never responded to the gospel that you've heard from your parents or from your grandparents or from others, perhaps a brother or a sister who have had a conversion experience where they have trusted the Lord, listen to them now, because your eternal destiny depends on it. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love and for these women who have made a difference. We trust that You'll bless those who are listening to us today as we give thanks for Thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen.